From NPR and WBUR, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And let's get right to today's jobs report from the Labor Department. It says employers added 214,000 jobs in October, cutting the unemployment rate to 5.8%. That's down from 5.9% in September. And it's the lowest unemployment rate in this country since July of 2008. U.S. Labor Secretary Thomas Perez joins us from Washington to talk about the numbers. Secretary Perez, welcome back. And how would you describe the jobs report?
Well, this is another solid report. This is 9 months in a row, Jeremy, where we've had over 200,000 jobs created. That hasn't happened since the mid-90s. A year ago, our unemployment rate was 7.2%. Now it's 5.8%. If I did a poll of pundits a year ago and asked what the unemployment rate would be a year later, I doubt anyone would have said 5.8%. And the unemployment rate's going down for good reason, because more people found good jobs. We've now had 56 consecutive months of private sector job growth, which is the longest streak on record, to the tune of 10.6 million jobs. So we're moving in the right direction. We got a lot more work to do. And I think the biggest challenge, Jeremy, is what I call the challenge of shared prosperity. Too many people are working hard, and they're not sharing in the benefits of the productivity in their workplace. They worked hard to bake that cake of prosperity, but they're not sharing in it. Their sweat equity isn't translating into financial equity.
And why is that? Because we did see that wages only grew 0.1% in October.
That's been a very pesky trend for really a couple decades now. You look at productivity since the late 70s, and it's increased over 90%. And you look at wage growth, and it's increased 2 or 3%. And one way to put upward pressure on wages is to pick up the pace of growth. So let me give you one example. We're seeing good stretches in the construction sector. But imagine where we would be, Jeremy, if we could simply get a long-term transportation infrastructure bill. What would happen then is these workers would be working even more hours, and then more such workers who are making middle-class wages, good jobs, would be hired. When we put those upward pressure on wages by picking up the pace of growth, by putting more money in people's pockets, and voters in five states spoke very clearly about raising the minimum wage, and four of those five states were very red states, South Dakota, Alaska, Arkansas, Nebraska. When you put money in people's pockets, they spend it, and then employers hire more, and that creates those upward pressure on wages.
But do you see a realistic chance of getting some kind of infrastructure bill, long-term infrastructure bill, with this new Republican Congress?
Oh, I do. Remember, Dwight Eisenhower brought us the interstate highway system. And this has always been a bipartisan issue.
It hasn't happened in the last several years with a Republican House.
I take Leader Boehner at his word when he says we need to get things done. I mean, now the Republicans control the Senate and the House. And so it's incumbent on them to deliver results. And that's really the message of this election. People want progress. They want to see results. They want government, Republicans, Democrats, independents to come together. I think infrastructure is one of those areas where we can do that. And I know the president feels the same way. And again, this is a formula to create really good jobs.
Why do you think, given the fact that all the things you said in your earlier answer are true, that we've had many months of job creation in this country and the unemployment rate has been coming down for years now, why do you think that voters listed the economy as their top concern and that they punished the Democrats in the Obama administration for the lack of progress in the economy?
Well, Jeremy, I'm not a pundit, so I'm the labor secretary, so I'm not sure I'm the best person to extrapolate from trends. But I do know this. The voters who voted sent a very clear message that they want Congress and the president to get things done. The voters who didn't vote, and we had the lowest turnout in this election since 1942, and those voters were putting their hands up saying, Washington's broken. It's futile for me to go out and vote. And we need to listen to both sets of stakeholders and come together to get things done. You know, the American people in those five states sent a very strong message about the minimum wage. And I hope that we can come together around that, just as Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton came together around that in 1995. We can get things done in divided government.
Well, what would you like the minimum wage to be?
Well, I think 10-10 the bill that is pending before Congress makes sense, because when you look at that, it would help 28 million people have a raise. And guess what they're going to do with that money, Jeremy? They're going to spend it. They're not going to put it in an offshore account.
Although that's you can still say somebody working for $10.10 an hour is not going to be making a living wage, what people would consider a living wage.
The minimum wage is an important step, Jeremy, and it's absolutely not the only step. It's one part of a broad-based jobs growth agenda. And what the minimum wage does, as much as anything, is aside from helping lift primarily, by the way, women, and the average age of the minimum wage worker is 35 or 36. It's not the teenager, as some opponents have suggested. It's only teenagers, certainly some teenagers, but something like 10% are under 20 years old. When you put money in people's pocket, they spend it, and then businesses have to hire more. That's why the majority of businesses support raising the minimum wage, because what business owners have told me, Jeremy, is that, Tom, the most important thing I need are customers. That's how I grow my business.
Well, speaking of teenagers, I did notice today that the effective unemployment rate for 18 to 29-year-old African-Americans is now 21.9%. What is going on there?
Well, we've had when you look at overall unemployment rate in African-American and Latino communities, it's been coming down, but it's unconscionably high. That's why the president has a host of initiatives that he has been leading to address this issue, including an initiative called My Brother's Keeper, which is really designed to help young men of color. You disaggregate further and you see unemployment rates that are even higher. When you raise the minimum wage, when you make sure that our K-12 system, especially in inner cities where we have oftentimes challenges in our educational system, as we work to improve our educational system, as we work to bring jobs into cities so that there are opportunities to punch your ticket to the middle class, these are things that we can do that will help address these issues. Because you're absolutely right, Jeremy, that when you look at opportunities for African Americans and Latinos especially, their unemployment rates are just unconscionably high.
Thomas Perez, the U.S. Secretary of Labor, joining us to talk about today's jobs report from the Labor Department. Secretary Perez, thanks for speaking with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you.